And so, I don't know if you can see this up here, but this is a lot of weight here, right? And when I lift this, this is going to make me really strong. Because I'm going to lift this, it's going to make me really strong. I need to concentrate, so don't laugh, okay? I need to really try. I want to try. There is no try. Do or not, do not. There is no try. Okay, that one, that side works. That side works. What's wrong with this picture? Oh, that's it. If I get the right mentality. Is this liftable? It is. It's liftable. And I can do this, and so can most of you. Just not today. And what do I mean by that? You have to train up for it. And so you don't start at the top. You have to start at the bottom and work up. And so you don't try, you train. Now, everybody starts somewhere, and somebody can probably come here and lift this up, but that means you've been doing this before. Don't hurt myself. Too late for that. Yeah, and you've been wanting to try it. Uh-oh, let me see here. Adam, can you fix this? This has got a camera going here. Yeah. Yeah, some people are quicker than others. Yes, so we don't want to try, we want to train. And for example, how many of you can play the piano? Even a little bit. Okay, put your arms down. How many of you who can't play the piano, but you want to? All right, come on up here and try. Or forget that. How about the guitar? How many of you can't play the guitar, but you want to? Just come up and try. All right, you know. You understand what we're going to do is... we have to build up. But if you're serious about it, you can do any of these things. And people, of course, have done these things. In fact, if you wanted to be a professional trumpeter in a big city symphony, you could do that. But not the first day. Right, George?
Yeah.
George is first trumpeter at Columbus Symphony. And he's been on loan to Detroit Symphony, so he's been playing here. He is Caleb's brother-in-law, Sage's sister, Donnie, and George have been married how long now?
Almost 2 years.
Okay, good. And so, how many hours of practice do you think you did?
In total, since I started trying,
yeah.
Upwards of 11,000 hours.
Okay, did you hear that? 11,000 hours, all right. So, but it's not just exercise or music. All of life requires training, whether it's formal or informal, whether it's conscious or subconscious. Children always imitate, right? Look at the little kids are doing. They imitate us for good or bad. All successful living requires discipline training. And it means you start where you are, you move forward to your goal step by step. Can you go to the next slide? Stuck. There we go. All right. What's this lady doing? Teaching piano, right? And so, does the girl look happy? So there's a coach. She's coaching her. And then here's another one, a soccer coach. And these kids want to learn to play. They want to score the goal. Can they just start by scoring goals? There's a lot to learn. Imagine, you think of this, like if you wanted to sing or lift weights, or tie shoelaces. You've forgotten how to do that, haven't you? Or you play piano or guitar, learn a language, bake a cake, ride a bicycle, or even ride a unicycle. Can you imagine that? Well, that wouldn't that be weird to learn how to ride a unicycle? Well, look at these kids. Wow, pretty cool. Pretty cool. Wait. What's your name?
Mari.
Okay. You were singing last week.
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Tobin.
Okay. And what are you guys doing here? What is this?
This is a unicycle.
Okay. Meaning what?
Beauty. One wheel.
One wheel. Okay. And you guys, did you just start today?
No.
How long have you been doing this?
2 years.
And just by yourself? Or your whole family? Your whole family's doing it. And when's the thing you're going to do? 4th of July or Memorial Day too?
We had a parade today. We just
didn't go. Oh, okay. Well, you came here instead. Good for you. But they're going to be in a parade. They've been practicing. And Trenda has videos if you want to see.
We were in the Detroit parade last year.
All right. Okay. Is this fun?
Yes.
Do you ever fall?
Yes.
So you're still learning new things?
Yes.
Do you have a teacher?
We have a lot of teachers, sort of.
Okay.
Our club is kind of like the biggest club in the...
Can you hear?
Our club is the biggest club in the U.S.
Wow.
Nationals are coming here this year.
Okay.
Or junior, I don't know why.
All right. Well, let's give him a hand. All right. So, is that doable?
Yes.
Do you start by just getting on it and riding?
No.
Well, you start by getting on it and falling. I've tried it, yes. But if you stick with it, you can do it. It's possible. Like, how about driving a car? How many of you can drive a car? How many can drive a car and listen to the radio? How many can drive a car and text?
No.
Do any of you remember first learning to drive a car? Was it easy? Were you relaxed? Or were you extremely nervous? And so now you can drive a car in traffic in a snowstorm, right? You want to see something funny? Every now and then it snows in Texas. Where's our Texans? How well do they do? Not so well. Yeah. So in Michigan, you have experience that other people don't have. And so think about this, like tying your shoe. It's so easy. How many have trained a child to tie a shoe? Is that easy? And in fact, think right now how you tie your shoes. Can you describe how you tie your shoes? You can? This means you've been teaching someone. Because all of us we tie our shoes, but we've forgotten how to do it. Your brain forgets, but your fingers remember. What's that called? Muscle memory. Muscle memory is very important. I'm going to fall over this, I'm sure. Oh. I had men bring this up. Ha ha. And so, yeah, it's muscle memory. And muscle memory is important. God made us as creatures of habit. He made us so that we can just do things without thinking about them. And that's a good thing. But it has to become a habit. Now, how many of have good habits? Okay. How many have some bad habits? Oh. All right, be careful. Don't worry, I'm closer to the ground. That's why it's easier for me. God made us so that we can forget things but still be able to do them. But they're built into us. Some of the things that are built into us are good, and some of the things built into us are bad. And one of the things for us to grow in training, in Christ's discipleship training program, is part of it is we have to retrain ourselves in habits that are bad. And is that going to happen just like that? No. Habits don't break just like that. They don't start just like that. It has to happen over and over again. Are there going to be failures? Are you going to fall off the unicycle? Are you going to hit the wrong note? And yes, it's going to happen. But if we stick with it, we will see progress. And that's what God wants us to do. Because sometimes we think of growing in Christ as impossible. Just like if someone comes up, they grab that bar and they say, "I can't do it. It's impossible. I'll just quit. I won't try again." Well, actually, if they tried again, it had the same result. You have to try in the steps that you need. And so you need to train according to the proper program. And that's what we want to do as we grow in Christ. And so we're talking about Christian truth, but Christian truth is not just information. It's not just trivia. It's actually knowledge that we are to put into our lives. It's to be life skills. And so God is training us, teaching us, so that we actually think about God differently, relate to God differently, think about one another differently, relate to one another differently in our families, in our neighborhoods, at work, everywhere we go. We're to think and act differently, and we're to keep practicing this new knowledge and these new skills so that it can change us. We're to put off the ways of the old self, put on the ways of the new self. And look what Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. He says, "All of you who are weary and heavy burdened, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Learn from me. Who's the teacher?
Jesus
is the teacher. He's teaching us. And he said, and look at what kind of situation is it? He's saying there's two animals yoked together, and we're not an agricultural society, and I'm certainly not one experienced in that. But Sam, you've ever had animals yoked together? My father used to plow with a horse, or sometimes two horses. He loved that. He just thought that was the funnest thing to do, is plow pulling behind a horse. His father didn't like automobiles. My dad learned to drive and repair cars at age 12, but his father never really got used to driving. He liked horses. These animals are yoked together, and so they take an experienced animal and then they yoke him with a new animal, and the new animal learns by being next to the experienced animal, and they pull together. And he says the burden is light. Is there a burden? Is there work God wants us to do? Yes. There's a burden. And these animals are actually happy when they pull their burden, when they pull their load. They're happy. They feel fulfilled. You've seen animals, dogs, horses, different animals that are trained to work, and they're so happy to be trained to work. We had, at the very beginning of our ESL program, we had a Chinese lady come who's married to an American, and the man was a dog trainer. Some of you remember him. And he trained Old Yeller. So he was quite old, all right? And he trained dogs to jump out of airplanes or helicopters with parachutes. I forget. But can you imagine training a dog to jump out with a parachute? And so he was quite the trainer. But these dogs were working dogs, and they were very happy doing what they're supposed to do. What's it mean, my yoke is easy? It means it fits. It fits the animal. It doesn't have spots that are going to, you know, break through the skin and touch the bone. It fits the animal. It's according to whichever animal it is. And so he's saying, my yoke will fit you. With the way I made you, with your abilities and your experiences. It's going to fit you, and you're going to learn as you walk with me. And then he said, and when you do that, when you work with me, and I teach you, and you get trained by me, what will be the result? What will you find for your souls? Rest. So rest doesn't come from being lazy. Rest comes from working and doing something useful and then being exhausted at the end of it and having good sleep because you've rested after doing what you're supposed to do. And it's not in your power, and you don't do it alone, and you don't train yourself. It's not your own wisdom. It's not your own power. You're doing it with Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember what he said in Matthew 28. He said as he was ascending, this is the commission for the church forever. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. He said, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, into a relationship with the triune God. And teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the world, or the end of the age. I've lost control of this thing here. Can you advance it back there, Jason? Thank you. All right. And so he's saying, make disciples, teach them to obey all my commands, and I am with you. Earlier he said, take up my yoke, I'll be with you. Now he's telling his disciples to make disciples. So which is it? Is the church making disciples, or is Christ making disciples? What's the church? The body of Christ. So Christ is in his church through the Holy Spirit, and he's doing the work, but it's also we're doing the work. Right? And so we are doing the work. We're making disciples. And it was interesting. What did they say? I asked if they had a trainer, and they said what? Well, we have many, because they have many people already more advanced than them in riding the unicycle. But they have one main trainer, but they have many of them, and so they can learn from all of these people who already know more and can do more than them. And so it's a big camaraderie there, that they encourage each other in this thing. In 1 Timothy 4, Paul says, train yourselves for godliness. Discipline yourselves for godliness. He said physical training has some value. It's valuable for this life. But godliness is valuable not just for this life, but also for the next life. And so just like a person can make themselves strong by lifting weights, a person can make themselves musical by playing the piano or the guitar or the trumpet, you can train and do almost anything, but he's saying train yourselves for godliness and do it just like people who train for the Olympics. Now, how many of you like to watch the Olympics? How many watch Summer Olympics? Okay, what's your favorite sport? Gymnastics. Triathlon. Is there one?
Yeah.
I knew there's a decathlon, but is there a triathlon? Okay. All right. What else?
Swimming.
Okay. Is there soccer there? I thought it was a World Cup. I don't know. All right. What? Anyone else? Javelin throw. Okay. That's better than a javelin catch, right? Okay. All right. So, did you ever hear them when they talk, they interview the person and they say how much they've trained and how much they're dedicated to their sport? It sounds kind of like what George said, 11,000 hours or something like that. That's what they have to put in. And what do they do with their life? Does their life look normal? Their life is focused around this goal. And anything that doesn't fit in is out. And so they have very strict lifestyles because they want to achieve at that level. Well, what does God tell us? He says, I want you to be my disciples. But if you love anyone more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. If you even love your own life more than me, you're not worthy to be my disciple. He's saying, you have to put me first. Because, and Christ is not just a teacher, he's not just a prophet, he is God himself. And that's right, we have to put God first. And when we put God first, then our lives can come into the right focus. And then anything that doesn't fit with that, we can throw it off, just like these Olympic athletes can throw it off. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, "For though I am free from all men, I've made myself a slave to all, that I may win more." He's saying, no man has an obligation on me, but I obligate myself to serve. Why? What did Jesus say? Who's the greatest of all? You want to be the greatest of all? What do you have to do? Be the servant of all. And Jesus said, that's what the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and even give his life as a ransom for many. And so Paul goes on. He says, think of the games. They had not only Olympic games, but they also had Corinthian games. So Corinth had their own set of games. There was a famous person who went there and won every event. Can you imagine that? Won every event. Nero, yeah. You're really fast, sir. I just can't keep up with you. Second's the best I can do. He says, don't you know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So they didn't receive even gold medals. They just had a laurel wreath that died in a day or two. He said, therefore, I run in such a way, but not without aim. He has a goal, a purpose. I box in such a way, but not as one shadow boxing or beating the air. He said, I discipline my body and make it what? Make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. You see, the proper attitude that we have to our bodies is, it is your instrument that God has given you for you to serve God with. Someone said, the body is a good servant, but it's a terrible master. How is someone mastered by their body? Whatever the body wants, you have to give it to it. The body demands something, you're the servant, you have to give it to it. It wants more food, you have to give it to it. It wants more sleep, you have to give it to it. It wants some kind of drug or alcohol, you have to give it to it. So the body is the master, and you're the servant. Is that the way God made us? No, that's upside down. And yet many people find themselves in that way. And then some of those people come to Christ, and they find out, why is it difficult for me to grow in my Christianity? Why is it difficult for me to grow in my discipleship? Because they haven't learned how to enslave their body, and how to make new muscle memory, and how to make new paths in their brains and in their hands and everything, in their eyes, new habits. And so this is the thing that God wants us to do, is to make new habits and bring our body, because the only way you can serve God is serve God in the body that you have. We're not just serving God with our thinking. We have to serve God in reality. And since he made us corporeal beings, being souls and bodies together, that's how we serve God, is our souls and our bodies together. I said, elite athletes make their sport the center of their lives. Everything must flow around that and support it, or it's eliminated from their lives. Paul said in Romans 6, he talked about slavery. He said, before Christ, we were enslaved to sin. After Christ, we're now enslaved to Christ. And so just as you used the members of your body, your skills, your abilities, whatever you had to serve sin, now use those same abilities to serve Christ. You have a new master. Let's think of Romans 12, where he says this. He says, present your bodies what? a living sacrifice. So every day, give yourself as a sacrifice to Christ. Or as another way, every day take up your cross, right? Every day die to yourself. Every day present your body as a sacrifice to Christ, but not a dead one, a living one. So that he said, we believe that one died for all, therefore all died. So the life that you now live, live in service of the one who died for you. So he died for you, you live for him. Give this day to him. That's the attitude that we're to have. And we're to remind ourselves every day. Just like the young people learning how to ride the unicycle. Are you going to fall off? Yes. And what do? You get back on, right? And so you start your day saying, this day is for Christ. And you're going to fall off sometime. And when you fall off, go, I'm getting back on. Why? Because I'm in training. I'm in training to become the kind of person that God wants me to be. And I'm making ground, okay? Am I at the Olympic level? No, but I'm making ground, and that's what you need to think. We need to be thinking all the time, is we're in training, we're improving, and we're doing this. And then he said, something will happen. You'll stop being conformed to the world, you'll be transformed, looking more and more like Christ, and then you'll prove to yourself, and you'll prove to others who see transformation in your lives that God's will is good, perfect, and acceptable. Look what he says in Ephesians. The Apostle Paul says, you did not learn Christ this way. You were not discipled in Christ this way. The word learn and disciple are very close. They're from the same root. And he said, if you've heard of him and you've been taught in him, just as the truth is in Christ. So, he said, there's a way of living that's been taught in Jesus that means to be a disciple of Christ. And they fit together. And so he says, and then he's going to give a whole bunch of examples of what to do about that. He said, so in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, that you might be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So there's actually been a transformation taking place in us when the Holy Spirit came in us, but we have to cooperate with that and have to grow up in that. And so then he says, he gives some examples. He said, put off this and put on this. What does he say? Lying. What do we do with it? Falsehood. What do? We have to put it off. So throughout the day, if you're tempted to lie and you recognize that, don't do it. If you're tempted to stretch the truth, don't do it. Speak the truth. Speak truth to one another. And then he says, this, he's talking to one another in the body of Christ because you are members of the body of Christ. And then he says, you need some anger management. In your anger, do not sin. It's a quote from the Psalms. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. What do you think that means? Especially good for a husband and wife. But it means reconcile quickly. Don't let time pass before you reconcile. Don't stay angry with people. What happens when you hold on to anger? What does anger do when you hold it? Do you feel it in your stomach? I mean, how many of us actually held on to anger for a while? It turns to bitterness. Someone said holding a grudge is like drinking poison and hoping the other person gets sick. Let go of the anger. It'll just be bitterness inside of you. Let go of it. Reconcile as much as possible. And then he says, because if we don't, this will be an advantage to the devil. He'll take advantage of us through that. He says about the thief. If you're a thief and you've been stealing things, and there's all kinds of different ways of stealing, we can steal on the job by not doing your work. There's all kinds of ways. But he says, the one who's stealing, steal no longer, but work. Do useful work, make money, provide for your own needs, and then use your money to meet the needs of others. And look at that complete turnaround. The person thinking, they have something that I want. I have the right to their stuff. I'm going to take it. That's the attitude of the world. And now the person says, you know what? I have the ability to take care of myself and even provide for others. They don't deserve it, but I can help people who need stuff for the sake of Christ. Now, our world is very confused. They think if you need something, that means you deserve something. Those are different words and different meanings. You might need something. It doesn't mean you deserve it. It just means you need it. And probably you don't even need it. You just want it. But this is saying we have the opportunity to share with people who have need, even though they don't deserve it. Just like you didn't deserve to take someone else's stuff, now they don't deserve to take your stuff, but you can be kind and generous to them. He said, what about your speech? What about talking? We used to talk. All kinds of stuff came out of our mouths. But now he says, don't let anything come out of your mouth that is not full of grace. It doesn't build people up, is not edifying, is not wholesome. Just use your mouth for the sake of Christ. And so that means throughout the day, you say, I want to speak grace to people. I want to speak truth to people. I want to build people up. I don't want to tear people down. But you slip. You fall off the unicycle. What do? Say, I'll start over tomorrow? No, start over right then. You may have to apologize to someone. But just keep getting back up and keep doing it, and then you'll see progress in your life. You'll see yourself playing more tunes on the piano or the trumpet, hitting less wrong notes and seeing it go together better. He says we're to be trained by Christ. We're yoked together with him, and we're to learn from him. And when we're done, if you want to lift that weight, you can. Maybe we should give out 6 guys and just carry it down like that. And you can even practice the piano if you want. You can, but we want to be trained by Christ. You don't have to be an Olympic athlete. You don't even have to be a professional musician. It's not wrong to get in shape. Now, you notice I waited until Nick left, so because he would have lifted that up and then it would have ruined my illustration. No, he would be an example of someone having been trained. So it fulfilled the example. It would fulfill the illustration. But we have a discipline, a training, that's really not optional. When you signed up to be a disciple of Christ, you signed up to be under his command, to become like him. The disciples in that day, it was very easy to see who was a disciple because they left their families and followed their teacher around and lived with them 24/7. And some of them were even married. Peter had a wife. And he said, we've left everything for you. Now later he took his wife with him on his mission, but during that training period, she wasn't with him. We are to be trained by Christ, and he said, I'm right there with you. I'm yoked with you. You can learn from me. And you'll pull a burden, but it'll fit you, and as you keep pulling, guess what'll happen? You'll get training, you'll get skill, and you'll get stronger. You'll get better at this. And then other people, you'll be yoked with other people, and they'll learn from you. This is what God wants us to do. And what we need to be, we need to have the attitude of the elite athletes who say, this is my life. Anything that doesn't fit in this, I'm going to cut out of my life. If it's sugar, change my diet, change the time I go to bed, the time I get up, change my activities, whatever it is, I am a disciple of Christ. And that's the kind of attitude that we need. The early church had this attitude. Christ was everything. People saw this and they were attracted to it, or they were repelled from it. And that will be that will be the reaction that we have. But we want us to be in a situation where we're all growing together. And just like that unicycle troop that encouraged one another, people want to join that thing because they have fun and they're together around a common goal and they enjoy one another. Our common goal is Christ, and we're to be trained by him to be his disciples. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time and for this opportunity to be your disciples. Help us to grow. Help us to keep our eyes on you and know that you've said we'll be like you, especially when you come back, we'll be changed. But even in this life, we could see ourselves becoming more and more like Christ. Help us to keep that truth in front of ourselves, be inspiring and helping one another when we fall down, showing people how to get stronger and build all the different characteristics and character traits that we need to become like Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Let's stand up and sing this old hymn called A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.